Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Divas Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we are visiting with someone that's a little out of the norm for, you know, what you might think that I would bring on the podcast. And his name is Dustin Christensen, and he is a certified financial planner and professional with a branch of New York Life. Now, I know probably some of you are groaning inwardly, oh, an insurance agent. Well, no, we're not going to be talking about that, kind of, sort of. But what we're going to be talking about today addresses a lot of the issues that we are having in our industry, whether you are a government agency or private entity, manufacturer, contractor, and that is finding and retaining good talent. And one area that maybe people don't think about too much is beyond the wages are the benefits package. And most of us are familiar with, we think about benefits as, oh, they offer health insurance. But benefits can go way beyond just the basics of health insurance. We're not going to even go there today and touch on that. We're going to be looking at some other vehicles that you as an entity organization may want to take a look at as sweetening the package. And it can be more affordable than you think. That could be the difference in you finding the right talent, getting them from your competition, getting them to choose you if they've got multiple offers on the table, and even retaining good talent. And with that, welcome to the show, Dustin. And let's talk benefits. The benefit of the benefit of benefits.
Okay.
So what are some of the things, in addition to the traditional health insurance, that organizations should be taking a look at as something to offer that you are seeing as being very popular? And what I'd like you to preface that with is maybe a little history about how you got into this, because you said you were in education, and what has kind of driven you in this direction?
Okay. I think some business owners need to look into offering different group products, such as group short-term disability, group long-term disability, and offering group term life insurance, as well as possibly offering some voluntary benefits besides the group side, where business owners would kind of help pay for that, offering supplemental insurance, such as employee whole life, where it's the employer would pay for it, but it's guaranteed issue, and it goes with them if they ever leave the job or the work site. I've seen a huge with the company I work with, a huge demand for that, because what happens with the employee whole life is they get rated and they're guaranteed that rating for life. And sometimes in different industries, there are some people that might be uninsurable going down the road and as they get older. And when you can offer some product like this, it's like, whoa, I can get insured, or, you know, some life insurance for me and my wife or for my grandkids. It's just been a huge product in the market today. Like Susan said, I was in education for 9. I was a special ed teacher for 7 and 2 as a school principal. And I just, well, I'll be honest, I got burnt out of the education world, and I still wanted to use my teaching degree in a way. And I have a passion for helping people with finances and educating this in the like in the insurance realm. And to be honest, I wanted to do this right after student teaching, but I had a really good agent who told me he spent 5 years going for student teaching, go teach, and this job will be here. And so here a year and a half ago, I called her up and said, hey, I'd love to become an insurance agent, and how do I do that? And it worked out really well. I work with her as an kind of with her within her office, and she's been training me up. So here I am, and reaching out people and educating them on their finances.
Well, something that you mentioned to me offline was that a lot of people would think that, you know, a school or government entity would have very, very rich benefits. And that might be a little bit of a misconception. And, you know, maybe tell the audience a little bit about your experience there. And then we could take a deep dive on, you know, something you mentioned about the stability or the rating of those benefits.
Yep. So in education, we would have, you know, group term insurance. Be honest, didn't know much about it. I signed a paper at the beginning of the school year. Usually it's for a low amount of 15, you know, 10,000, 15,000 coverage. That is not very much in today's world. That is probably paying for a funeral, or if you don't want a funeral, it's probably paying for cremation. Funeral costs have gone up. So it just dawned on me after leaving education that there's more to benefits than just a $15,000 life policy. It's important. We didn't have much long-term or short-term disability. School-wise, I don't know much about other businesses, but that's not something that schools can offer. Where I'm at in South Dakota, just for financial reasons. So yeah, that's it's just made me aware of like how important from a business side offering these products to your employers is, because your employers are looking for you to assist them because they have other people in their life that they're counting on, and cool. Just and. Like you said, some of the ratings, such as the life insurance companies or group, were just not very highly rated. And you want to try and look for a strong rated company. For example, New York Life is a strong rated company. They're rated top best across all the rating companies. So is New York Life or Northwest Mutual. Thrivent are some examples in the industry.
You had mentioned there's a number of different rating agencies. Probably most of us are familiar with, is it AM Best? You know, like yes. When you choose your life insurance policy or your health insurance, oh, it's rated for that so that you know they're not going to go away when you need them.
Correct.
At your worst moment. So.
Yeah. So usually it's AAA. A plus B, and then goes down from there.
Right. So now when you were talking about, I'm just looking at my notes here, when you're talking about, you know, group term, you know, short-term disability, long-term disability, what should a business owner be looking at when, or looking for, like questions they should be asking, or, you know, costs they should be prepared for? Does it vary from industry to industry? And I guess, you know, basically, how should they be an educated buyer if they're thinking, wow, maybe if I did add a few extra benefits, you know, to my package, how would this really help my employees and how would it help me?
It depends on industry and how many employees each industry or company has. It's based on... and it depends on the company you look into. I can't really answer that in full detail because I don't know really the in details about different companies. But they want to look for example, like in New York Life, we have two different options. There's 50 plus employees, and then there's 50 or less. And we also can help employers who have 2 to 9 employees. So there's just a mix of different options out there. So did that answer your question, Susan?
Well, kind of. I wanted a little more in depth when they look at their options. I would say, as you're looking, comparing things, what are the absolute musts that you want to have for coverage that it really makes having something like this worthwhile to have, or to have that expense? What should be included as they're like talking to an agent? Because, you know, you're in Iowa, but let's say it's a contractor that is in California. What should he be asking his agent that I want to offer something like this? What things should I have included to really make this seem like it's something worthwhile to an employee?
So like what kind of benefits?
Yes. What should be included in that short-term and long-term disability?
Okay. So like for a short-term, they want to make sure it's temporary, and then it covers partial income replacement.
Okay.
When employees are unable to work, because especially like you said, a contractor, one of his employers might be at the work site and gets hurt for a couple, 2 to 3 months. They want to make sure it's covered at least like 90 days or less. Long term is it's income protection, and is able to facilitate return to work outcomes at a later outcome due to the possible injury. And then group term is one thing. Not only does it cover the life, they also want to be looking into accidental death coverage, because that could happen on the work site. That happened here in South Dakota, actually. They were at their work site, and a big machinery, I think, kind of ran over one of the employees. So it's like, oh man, hopefully the company had some good coverages.
Okay. And then what about, you know, you were saying making some other things. These are all things, obviously, that the owner of the company pays for, not the employee. But one of the things that you had mentioned, there are other things that you could make available that are, you know, opt-in by the employee. Give us some examples of those and what that would entail. One thing you did mention was it was another kind of coverage that would kind of life insurance they may like.
So other companies might call it something different. At New York Life, we call it Employee Whole Life. This is permanent. So it's voluntary life insurance protection that stays with employees if they ever choose to leave the job. And it is transferable to their next job, because it's the employee who is paying for it. There's minimal medical exams are required, and coverage is also available for spouses, domestic partners, and children and grandchildren. And the rating, the minimum is 10,000, and highest I think is 150,000. So
they could get some decent some decent coverage that they might not be able to get at a rate that would be available on the open market. So it's basically getting things at a heavy discount because the employer is offering it.
Yep.
Some advantages of that. What other type of benefits could be offered that are voluntary that you're aware of that somebody might want to consider?
Someone might want to consider. My mind just went blank. Sorry. Okay. Long-term care.
Oh, long-term. Oh,
that is huge. And as a young person coming in the career and working with some older clients and some middle-aged clients, it's like, man, I wish that is a huge need right now, I think, in across all industries, because long-term care prices are going up, and a lot of people need to be educated on that aspect, because what happens is I work with some clients who have gone into a assisted living, for example, and they've had some things where in order to help pay for it, and they don't have long-term care insurance, the state comes in and says, well, we're going to have to take over this asset. And, you had all these beneficiaries. Now the beneficiary has to be the state in order to help pay for this, nursing home or assisted living, for example. So I think that would be a huge game changer in not only in education, but also in the manufacturing world and contracting world.
Well, yeah, because when you think about that, a lot of people, I'm 35 years old.
A lot of people aren't thinking about that.
They don't want to think about it because they're young, they're invincible. But as we age, and I'm at that age now where I'm thinking, maybe I should have this. And, I've got some other things to hedge against that. But yes, I know because, my father, God rest his soul, had Alzheimer's. And thank God he had enough planning ahead that he had the financial resources for the care that he needed. But it would have been heartbreaking if he had not had that, and that burden would have fallen on myself and my mother, and that things mm-hmm. that he had wanted or intended for us to have, that the state, like you were saying, the state would take over that. And so we don't want to think about that, but having that available to people. And is that one of those benefits, like the whole life, that let's say, here I am, I joined a company, I'm 35 years old, I decide that I'm going to get this long-term plan, and I retire at 65. When I retire and I've never used it, does that travel with me so I could continue with it, so that, let's say, heaven forbid, at age 72, something happens to me? And yep. I need, is that one of those products that goes with you when you either retire or leave an entity?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. Now, and some other.
I don't know if you can answer this question, but their ads are all over, and we laugh about it because of the Gilbert Gottfried voice. But Aflac, what is that exactly? And are there companies that do think it's that short term gap that supposedly covers things with medical that your health insurance doesn't, like a gap insurance? Or if you can't work and you can't pay that medical bill, it fills that gap. Does that fall into line somewhat of that short-term disability?
Yep. It's pretty similar.
Okay.
I can't answer too much about Aflac because I don't work for them. But it's pretty similar to short-term disability.
Okay. So there's like gap coverage for when you can't pay your medical bills and it takes care of things. Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
And with the new Secure 2.0 Act that got passed, I think a lot of companies are going to be looking at offering retirement strategies such as 401k plans, and that's something
Tell
New York
about Life- that. That is not. I'm sorry, I feel kind of like unaware here. You said the Secure Act.
Yep.
Yeah, there may be people that aren't aware of that. What is that, Dustin?
So I believe, and I can't go too much in depth because I'm not, it's where companies or businesses are going to be looking at or asked to offer retirement plans to their employers. There are some companies right now that don't have any retirement like IRAs or 401ks for their employers. So I think it's kind of forcing companies. I don't want to say force, but I think it's trying to help people get those retirement accounts started, because there's a huge, I heard the other day at a meeting that 45 people who are 45 and up haven't started retiring. There's a huge lack in that part, in that age group. They just haven't started. And I think this SECURE 2.0 Act is trying to relieve that and try and have companies say, oh, here's, we'll match 3% or 6% for their employers or employees, sorry.
Right, for the employees. Yeah, a lot of people aren't planning well enough in advance for retirement and thinking, well, Social Security is going to be enough. And we all know that even at the highest amount, even if you're at, you can get the maximum benefit and you wait till, what is it, 66 or now, you know, waiting till 70. Yep. You know, do you really, if you're in the construction field, do you want to be out there in the field working when you're 70? Probably not. That you would like to retire at maybe 65 or 66, but the, even that amount, that is not going to be enough to sustain you unless you've got a spouse or other, you know, forms of income coming in. Otherwise, you're going to really have to shift your lifestyle downward. And most people don't want to have to do that.
No, they don't. I'm a huge fan of trying to help clients retire happily and have a paycheck when they're in retirement. Because, you know, a lot of people like to go shop and go spend time with their grandkids or go golfing or go boating on the lake. Well, you're going to have to plan now for the future.
Right. And when it comes to like 401k and matching dollars, or even if you're doing something, you know, with myself on like a SEPA IRA, that it's a nice tax benefit, but with the matching dollars, and for anybody who is an employee that's listening, if your employer offers matching dollars or stock options or anything like that for whatever you contribute to your plan, take absolute advantage of it to the max that you can. You will not be sorry. Even if you decide to leave that firm, because it happened to me. And when it happened, I was surprised that after about 3 or 4 years, when I left and then decided and I was going to roll it over into a SEP IRA, how much had accumulated in those matching dollars that had been invested? It was like, wow, that's a nice little hunk of change that I would have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback off that, I was in education for 10 years and my, you know, my state retirement was about 32,000 and I was only in it for 10. So I was like, whoa, that's a pretty
good. What was that program for TIAA CREF was a big one for, that was the big one for matching for universities, but there's a lot of
different
organizations that are offering something like that now. And so I think it's, you know, it's important for the employer, because I know that one retention thing that can really keep people is if you're doing those matching dollars.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when it comes to employee retention, sometimes it's not all about the hourly amount or the overtime or the salary. A lot of times it's those benefits that come, especially if somebody has a family that, okay, I've got great health insurance, or if something happens to me, I've got this other benefit that I'm not gonna have to worry if I get hurt or I get sick or something happens that, oh my gosh, I'm only two paychecks away from us being served with an eviction notice. Because a lot of people are, unfortunately, in this day and age, even with two incomes, they're only a couple paychecks away from not being able to make their bills. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And so I think in our economy now with inflation, you made a very, very good point, is being able to offer these other little benefits. Maybe the difference between someone staying with you and not staying with you, that they may be willing to work for a dollar less an hour because you know they have their back.
Yes.
We don't want to think about, none of us likes to think about the rainy day, but we really should be. We should all be thinking about the rainy day. It's that Murphy's Law, you know, always think about that Murphy's Law. I had a very wise, you know, coworker who told me once, and he was the comptroller of the firm. And he says, Suzanne, always have a plan B. And after the plan B, have a C, D, and E, and F if you can.
Yeah.
Because you never know what is going to come down the pike at you. And so Dustin, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us, you know, some ideas and benefits that people may not have thought about. And it pays to investigate because they may be more affordable than you think. Because if we think about the cost of losing a team member, a really good talent, as a business owner, how much does it really cost you to recruit and get?
It costs a lot.
It costs a lot. And so if we think about, okay, it may cost me $5,000 in benefits a year to keep that person. How much is it going to cost me if I lose that very valuable employee that's got a lot of skills and a lot of talent long term? And so it's, you know, doing that math. So if people want to know more, I know you're only licensed in certain states, but you know, there's a big network that they can reach out to you on LinkedIn. And if you can tell them how they can reach out to you to get more information or connect, or if you can't help them, that maybe you can help connect them with an expert that can, if they liked what they heard today.
Yep. You can reach me at by phone at 605-840-9384, or you can, that's the best way to reach me. And then we can go from there.
Okay. Now what about on what is your LinkedIn profile?
My LinkedIn profile.
Are you Dustin? Are you Dustin Christensen? If they look you up,
I'm Dustin Christensen.
And you are located, because it may be a common name. And in what area are you located?
South Dakota.
Okay. Well, thank you again for sharing your expertise. And I hope those of you listening have gotten something out of this today and are now going to start to think about the benefit of benefits. And so until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions, and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.